Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 18, where we see a lament over the fall of Babylon the Great. Now, this is codenamed Babylon, the immoral woman that was riding on the beast, that was seated on the seven mountains, the one that was over all the different waters, the false faith that we've been talking about. And I've shared with you a couple of times now that I think that literal Rome, which seems to be what codename Babylon starts out about, will be destroyed by the 10 horns, that is, the 10 leaders of the final world government, right around the beginning of the final 6 months. That's my guess, because we know the wrath of God starts not too long after the beast image and mark go into effect. And I think that that's kind of related to the leaders no longer feeling like they need to have this woman riding on them anymore. So they burn her down. And so I think that's when the event that we're about to read about is most likely to have taken place. But I've also said that I think it's possible that the beast leader and his 10 assistants and the false prophet move operations from Rome to the Middle East, perhaps even to a rebuilt ancient Babylon. And I think it's possible even that might be destroyed. And so perhaps a little bit of this passage here might be directed toward that, since that's going to happen right at the tail end of the wrath of God. So today we're going to actually look at the wording of this lament over the destruction of the city codenamed Babylon. And the people that are lamenting are those that had relationships with her, those that made money off of her, those that benefited from her reign of terror. And so it's also a critique of them. Many of the words, the phrases that we see in this chapter are being brought from other places in Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, where God is bringing judgment upon certain cities, certain governments, certain people groups that have caused his possession, his people, great grief and trouble. Among them would be the literal Babylon, and Nineveh was one of the other big cities that ends up being destroyed. And so when you do some cross-referencing, don't be surprised when you see that this passage is kind of foreshadowed by other, quote, days of the Lord, end quote, times of judgment that have already occurred. That's enough background. Let's go ahead and look at the text. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. After this, I, meaning John, saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. So this angel is really glowing as he comes down to the earth. He called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons." And again, that language, that terminology, can be found in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zephaniah about places that God caused to be destroyed because of his judgment. And they became a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. So basically, they became depopulated and ruined. They were nothing but a place for wild animals to hang out. Verse number 3. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And all of that language we saw when we first were introduced to this woman back in chapter 14. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. And that's where the focus is going to be in this lament, is the fact that once this beast government gets restarted and the immoral woman, the false faith, was riding on her back or on the back of the beast there at Rome, there's a lot of money to be made from the pomp and circumstance needed by such a government. And these merchants made a killing in this last government and the false faith. Verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, and this is a voice from God. And it also kind of echoes some things from the Old Testament about getting out of Babylon before God brings judgment on it. So here's God's voice. Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And this is one of the places where I try to encourage people. If you are currently kind of caught up in Roman Catholicism and the belief that is part of that system that the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, is the absolute authority of God on earth, that everything that he says has to be done as if it were the voice of God. If you are in that system, I would encourage you to come out. You need to get out of that system that is directly in violation of what the New Testament teaches, which is that all Scripture, that is written word, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for correction, for reproof, for teaching and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, woman of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It is the inspired word of God where the authority of God resides on planet Earth, not in any one individual or organization. And so this is God before Babylon falls. I think it's probably right around the same time that the beast image and mark are all being initiated by the false prophet. God puts out this call, come out. You guys belong to me. If you name me as your God, you need to come out and not get caught up in her judgment, her destruction. And then God says about Babylon, codenamed Babylon, pay her back as she herself has paid back others. Repay her double for her deeds. This is language from the Old Testament about judgment against governments or entities which had done great damage to God's people, that they were going to get paid back double. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. I think about the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was supposed to be going around to all of the different nations in his day and saying, you guys need to drink this cup as a reminder that God is sending you judgment for what you've been doing. Verse 7, as she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen. I'm no widow. Mourning I shall never see. And that's almost verbatim out of a passage in the Old Testament about the, I think it was the city of Nineveh that was so full of itself and believed that it would never be taken down. And yet it was by God's judgment. Verse 8, for this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. So it is catastrophic, which is exactly what we read in chapter number 17 about the woman, that she would be hated by the 10 horns and by the beast government, and she would be taken down quickly and burned. So here it is. It's all going to happen in a single day. Death and mourning and famine. She will be burned up with fire, and mighty is the Lord God who judged her. And I believe that when we see Rome burned in this time period, that is the judgment for all of the anti-Bible-believing Christian activity that had gone on from that place in a couple of millennia. Verse number 9. The kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. So some will regret that she is gone because they used to cooperate with her. Play a little spiritual footsie, if you will. Verse 10, they will stand far off. So notice they're not in the destruction zone. In fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. And then you see this really long list of the goods and merchandise that codename Babylon had been using over her existence, but I would say even during this final 3.5 year period, when she was kind of helping the beast government run roughshod over the peoples of this earth. And so she was feathering her own nest, shall we say. And this is what the merchants of the earth had been selling. The merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. So she was a major purchaser of these sorts of things, and now she is burned to a crisp. So they are going to lose a major customer. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls. Those are very obvious signs of extreme wealth, aren't they? Fine linen, which in ancient times was very much a marker of wealth. Purple cloth. Purple is often the symbol of royalty. Certainly it's the symbol of authority. And so she was purchasing a lot of that. Silk. Scarlet cloth, which is another die of authority. And you may remember that in the description of the woman riding on the beast, she was clothed in purple and scarlet. And I shared with you at one of the sessions that I think is represented in the purple worn by the bishops and the scarlet worn by the cardinals within the Roman Catholic Church as symbols of their authority, because they are the ones that determine who's going to be the next pope. All kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Many of those are building materials. And so coming out of the chaos of the breaking of the sixth seal at the beginning of the day of the Lord, probably a lot of buildings were destroyed or damaged. And so she becomes a major purchaser of materials used to build fancy buildings. And then you have cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense. These items are actually used in the making of incense used in worship services. And so that shouldn't surprise us a bit that she's a major purchaser of that. Wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep. Those are all things that would be used to feed well the people involved in this mystery Babylon, this codename Babylon, this city of Rome that is helping the beast leader's government keep control of the population of the world. But we've also got horses and chariots in ancient times were high-tech equipment, highly mobile weapons platforms, very effective in battles. We might wonder, well, why are they mentioned here if it's in connection with a modern group of people? Well, remember, the chaos of the breaking of the sixth seal, sun going dark, moon going blood red, the stars, the angels falling from heaven to earth, probably took down much of the known infrastructure of governments and of militaries associated with those governments. And they may have needed to go back to some of the lower tech stuff by our modern standards for a while. So horses and chariots might have come in very handy for a bit. And slaves, that is human souls. Slaves, of course, are human beings who are forced to do the work of others. And there is this idea of owning. Now, here in the United States, we like to think that we have gotten way past that now, even though we've still got things that we wrangle over about issues that were not resolved well coming out of our period of insane slavery. But slavery now is very much frowned upon in the public realm. We are pretty sure it's going on in the underground world, behind the scenes, and we try to stop human trafficking as entities of government whenever we hear that it's going on. But my suspicion is that once the old world collapses and the new world comes up in the form of the new world government of the beast leader's government, that slavery is going to make a comeback. And I believe the slaves will be, in large part, those that don't cooperate with the beast leader's government. And so here, I think, is a good indication of that. Verse 14, "The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again." So this is still part of the lament, the sad song about how everything has changed for codename Babylon. She went from being on top to being gone. She can't party anymore because she doesn't even exist anymore. Verse 15, "The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud." So they will be concerned that they might still get sucked in to what has taken her down. So that's why they're trying to stay away. They will say this, verse 16, "Alas, alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls." This is reinforcement, by the way, because that's again how she's described in the other passages, riding on the back of the beast, dressed in exactly that way. But what happens to her once she is no longer useful for the purposes of the beast leader and the false prophet and the ten horns within the beast leader's government? She's out of there. She's gone. Verse 17, "For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. All the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors, all whose trade is in the sea, stood far off, and they cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. Oh, what city was like the great city?" And so they'll be all very sad because she has, well, she's come down from such a pinnacle of power to nothingness. In fact, as we've already talked about, it seems as if she is totally burned up. She is obliterated. My speculation, and that's all it is, folks, my speculation is that the beast leader's government will nuke her just to get rid of her. And so these guys will be talking about, "Oh, wasn't she so great when she existed?" And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned. That's a very old symbol of grief, to put dust up on your head. Sometimes people just put ashes on their foreheads to get the same effect. But they'll be crying out, once again, those same words, "Alas, alas for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour, she has been laid waste." So she used to be the importer of all of this stuff, and now she's gone, and everybody is sad. Well, not quite everybody, because in the middle of this lament, we have a little bit of celebration. Verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her." So not everybody is saying, "Alas, Babylon." Some people are saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for avenging our blood upon the one who had no regard for your word, who had no regard for your people." And so they will be thankful and happy that she is now taken down. Verse 21, "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea." Now, millstones come in various sizes depending on whether it's, you know, personal grinding of grain or if it's industrial. This is an industrial-sized stone, a great big one. It's the same size stone that Jesus said if a man were to cause a young child to sin for the very first time, well, he would have been better off to have had a donkey-driven millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the depths of the sea. This is the industrial-sized millstone driven by a donkey going round and round and round. So the angel takes this, throws it into the sea, which makes a great big splash, of course, a lot of noise. And then he says, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence." So it's going to be quick and it's going to be clear and will be found no more. Once Babylon the Great, codename Babylon the Great, what I believe is Rome at the beginning of the story of the day of the Lord, once it's gone, it will not be able to fight its way back up to a place of prominence ever again. Verse 22, the sound of harpists and musician, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. This is very poetic. We see it in the Old Testament books of Isaiah and Ezekiel as well, that when a city has been utterly destroyed, you won't hear partying going on in it anymore. And you also won't hear industry going on in it anymore. A craftsman of any craft will not be found in you anymore. The sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. The light of a lamp will shine in you no more. The voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. So community has terminated. It no longer exists. Everybody's gone. It's nothing but a ruin. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. So that's the reason why it's in trouble. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth. So when it all boils down to it, the reason that Babylon the Great is destroyed is because it has done great damage, great violence against God's people throughout history, and has been complicit, particularly in the day of the Lord, in running roughshod over those that name the name of Jesus in that final 3.5 year period. And so they cause the blood of the saints to be poured out on the earth, and so God brings them down with great violence on the face of the earth. Come back next time, and we'll continue in chapter 19.